Welcome to The Greek Current, a podcast by Halk and Kathimerini. I'm your host, Thanos Davelis. While Russian-Turkish dealings in a number of conflict hotspots in the Middle East, the Black Sea, and the Caucasus have attracted international attention, reactions to Ankara and Moscow's collaboration when it comes to nuclear energy have been rather muted. Professor Ioannis Grigoriadis joins me to look into the nuclear plant Russia and Turkey are building at Akuyu, discuss its impact on Russian-Turkish relations, and break down the major environmental and security concerns this project presents for the Eastern Mediterranean and the West. Dr. Ioannis Grigoriadis is a senior research fellow and the head of the Turkey program at ELYAMEP. He's also an associate professor and chair of European studies at the Department of Political Science and Public Administration at Bilkent University. Yannis, welcome onto the Greek Current.
It's great to be with you.
Yannis, energy is already a fundamental aspect of Russian-Turkish relations and has given Russia an upper hand in the relationship. Now Turkey and Russia are building a nuclear plant at Akuyu. How do you see this project impacting the balance between Ankara and Moscow?
In my view, this project aims to perpetuate and consolidate an energy dependency that Russia has gained over Turkey over the last decades. Unlike other European countries that have highlighted the need to escape from dependency on Russian natural gas, Turkey is appearing willing to change its dependency on Russian natural gas with a dependency on Russian nuclear technology. So what the Akuyu project is showing us, and it's not just the fact that a Russian company, Rosatom, is building the project, but also the details of the agreement, this shows us that Russia will maintain a strong influence on the Turkish energy markets for decades to come through Akuyu. And this, of course, means that unlike other European countries, which will escape eventually from Russian influence on their energy market with the transition to the green economy and the rise of the renewable energy, Turkey will remain dependent on Russia for the foreseeable future.
Professor, what are Russia's goals here? You talked about this deal. Does this deal raise questions about ulterior motives from the Russian side, for example?
I think there is a solid economic side to the deal. So Russia is building this project with the aim to sell electricity to Turkey for a fixed amount of time at a fixed price, which is like dollar denominated. So like Russia has zero risk against the fluctuating exchange rate of the Turkish currency. So there is an economic basis on this, but I think there is also a strategic basis of this agreement, which is what I tried to explain a few seconds before. That is that an asymmetry that has been one of the main features of Russian-Turkish relations in the last decade, and I refer to the asymmetry in the field of energy, whereby Turkey depends heavily on the import of Russian hydrocarbons, will be transformed into a dependency on Russian electricity produced by Akuyu nuclear power plant in Turkey, but operated and managed by Russia.
Professor, a sensitive aspect of the Russian-Turkish nuclear partnership concerns the business model that Rosatom has put in place. Can you get into this in a little more detail for us?
Well, in most cases, companies that build nuclear power plants are interested in recovering their investment, making their profit, and then leaving the power plant in the hands of the country that has contracted that. So in most cases, within 15 or 20 years, there is this transition. So if Rosatom wants to build a nuclear power plant and wants to stay there for good, and this is what is happening in Akuyu. So Rosatom will not abandon the project in 15 or 20 years, but it will be running and managing the power plant for its expected lifespan. This is quite extraordinary and raises questions about the political dimension of this agreement, because this means that Rosatom will maintain an important position in the Turkish electricity market for decades. So it's not just interested in making profit, it's also interested in maintaining influence on the Turkish energy market. And I think this is quite important to know.
Greece and Cyprus have raised the alarm over the Akuyu plant, calling on Turkey to consult with its neighbors about this project. What are the overall risks of the nuclear plant that's being built at Akuyu? And what are Turkey's Eastern Mediterranean neighbors really concerned about?
Well, there are a couple of different risks involved with our project. A very obvious risk for any nuclear project in the Mediterranean is, of course, the earthquakes, because our region is one of the most earthquake-prone regions in the world. The counter-argument against this position was that the area where Akkuyu is built was supposed to be one of the least earthquake-prone regions of Turkey. It was chosen for that reason. But a recent earthquake showed that even that region is not completely safe. So, of course, the discussion and the official statements talk about a project that can sustain much higher earthquakes, but it's definitely a major concern for the region. Because, of course, the costs, the possible negative effect of an accident is going to affect not only Turkey, but also neighboring countries. In addition to that, there is a major concern regarding the contribution of the power plant to the increase of the temperature of the Mediterranean seawater. Like all nuclear power plants, the Akkuyu plant will have to use water to cool down, cooling its reactors. And this water in the Akkuyu case will be brought from the Mediterranean. The waters of the Mediterranean are already rather warm compared to the waters of other oceans or seas around the world. This will mean that the project will need an increased quantity of water, of seawater, to keep the reactors cool. And this, of course, increases the risk about a possible contamination of the seawater that is going to go through the plant in order to keep the reactors at a temperature that is not dangerous for an explosion or sort of for a malfunction.
And it's important to note that the Mediterranean is already a very delicate ecosystem to begin with.
It is very important to highlight that there have been some international research projects that highlighted that the Mediterranean is already a climate crisis hotspot. So the seawater temperature in the Mediterranean has risen in recent decades. This has contributed already, for example, to the invasion of species from the Red Sea. You may have heard about a number of dangerous fish that now roam around the Greek seas and other fish that have disturbed and other organisms, not just fish, it's shellfish. There's, for example, the pufferfish that has been poisonous and is considered to be a major risk for fishermen in the Eastern Mediterranean. This has become possible. Why? Because the seawater temperature in the Eastern Mediterranean has risen to the point that fish that normally would not survive in the Eastern Mediterranean because they were used in tropical temperatures can now survive. So instead of raising awareness about the problems that rising temperatures in the Eastern Mediterranean are bringing, we're having a project that is going to make things even worse, unfortunately, in terms of water temperature.
What about looking at this project from a security standpoint? You know, it's been rumored that Turkey has an interest in acquiring nuclear military capabilities. Is there a concern about broader nuclear proliferation here?
If we look into the agreement between Russia and Turkey, we figure out that Russia will maintain the management and the control of the nuclear power plant throughout its operation. This actually means that the possibility that Turkey uses the power plant to develop its nuclear military capabilities is limited. So in most other power plant cases, within a period of 10 or 20 years, the country that hosts the power plant takes over full control of its management and its operation, which in theory could facilitate an attempt to develop nuclear capabilities through the power plant infrastructure. In the case of Turkey, this is not going to be the case. So at least on paper, Akkuyu doesn't appear to be a major concern as far as the development of Turkey's nuclear capabilities, military capabilities is concerned.
Professor, the post-February 24th world has made it increasingly difficult for countries to have their feet in both camps, something Turkey has tried to maintain since Russia's invasion. Does this nuclear project, which is going to increase Turkey's reliance on Russia in the long term, as you've laid out, indicate, you know, a choice that's been made by Ankara here?
Well, I think we need to state that the agreement and the terms of the agreement have been agreed before Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So in that respect, it sheds light on a very complex relationship between Russia and Turkey. where the two countries agree to disagree on certain important issues, but also agree to collaborate on other important issues. And in my opinion, relations between the two leaders also play a big role in that respect. I do agree that the position that Russia maintains in Turkish foreign policy today is very, very important. But on the other hand, I don't think that Turkey has already made any final choice in that respect. I think that they will continue sitting on the fence, trying to accrue benefits from both sides. But it is very likely that at some point in the near future, they will have to make a firm choice. And I do think there that the course of Turkish economy and domestic political developments are going to be a significant parameter in decisions to be made by the Turkish government.
What's the view in the West on this partnership between Russia and Turkey, especially with regard to this nuclear plant that's being built? How does, you know, NATO, the United States, for example, view this in relation to Western interests?
Well, it is a decision by a sovereign country, Turkey, with another sovereign country, Russia. So I don't think that NATO or the United States can openly, categorically oppose the details of this agreement. But on the other hand, of course, it raises significant concerns about the extent to which Turkey wants to build its strategic cooperation and partnership with its old-time allies. Let's not forget that Turkey has been a member of NATO for almost 70 years and has based its security architecture on its membership of the Western international and security organizations. In recent years, we've seen a sort of new policy whereby Turkey claims some sort of strategic autonomy against the West. So Turkey claims the right to define its own national security interests and then protect this even against what is understood as Western or American security interests. So in that respect, these tendencies are met, of course, with major concern by the Western allies in the United States. On the other hand, I think that there is another important point to be considered here, that the United States don't want to give a pretext for Turkey to completely break away from the relationship. So the United States are trying to find ways to consolidate their cooperation and their strategic partnership with Turkey without giving anti-Americans or anti-Western forces in Turkey a pretext to say that we just went to Russia because we had abandoned us or we gave us no option. I think the discussion about S-400s, for example, it is an important example in that respect, because no matter what is like understood by the international community, and I do think that the decision of Turkey to buy S-400s is a major blow against NATO and against a sort of its like membership of the Western security community. The discourse in Turkey is that, well, we requested Patriots and then we were not offered Patriots, so we had to get S-400. So I think that Turkish policy is carefully followed by the Western powers and the United States, and including nuclear policy, of course, because nuclear proliferation is a major security issue for the world, and developing close interdependence on Russia is something that raises major concern for the United States. So in that respect, I do think that the United States and the West are following closely this developments, but they're very careful in the way they intervene in order for their intervention not to backfire in the current circumstances.
Professor Grigoriadis, thanks for joining us on The Greek Current. Great speaking with you.
You're most welcome.
In other news, Greece expects two moves by Turkey that will ratchet up tensions this summer to levels not seen since 2020. The first move, according to Kathimerini, would be an official challenge to the sovereignty of several Aegean islands, either through a letter by Turkey's permanent representative to the United Nations, to the UN Secretary General, or a note. This is the old gray zones tactic pursued by Turkey since the 1990s. The second move under consideration in Ankara is to award an exploration license to the state-owned Turkish Petroleum Corporation in an area between the islands of Rhodes and Crete. Whatever Turkey's actual intentions, Greek officials are fairly convinced that tensions will escalate. Finally, Alexandroupoli is about to get even busier with shipments from and to Ukraine and plans for a road and rail connection to facilitate them. the inconclusive meeting in Ankara between the foreign ministers of Russia and Turkey, who had sought to create a safe passage for merchant ships in the Black Sea, has made a safer land route a viable, even urgent option. Kathimerini reports that there are talks involving the European Union and Ukraine for the transport of bulk cargo from Ukraine by land due to the Russian blockade of Ukrainian ports and the gridlock in the Bosporus Strait. Specifically, Ukraine is looking to export wheat, corn, and sunflower seeds through Alexandroupoli, as well as iron ore and glass. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.